Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's good to have you with us again. We have Bob and Mary Griswold with us tonight.
Hello, hello.
We have Howard and Rainer James with us.
Hey there. Hey, Rick.
We record on Wednesday evenings, so this show is pre-recorded. It airs on Sunday, so we have a little time lapse. It makes it difficult for us sometimes to stay up with current news and events. But speaking of current news and events, yesterday was midterm elections, and to bring us up to date on just how that went here in Craven County anyway is Director of Elections for Craven County, and that's Melanie Ray.
Hello, how are you doing?
Melanie, we sure appreciate you joining with us tonight. And in the second segment of the show, we have another special guest, and that's going to be Chip Hughes, who is the new sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town. New sheriff for Craven County, and Chip's going to give us an update on what he plans to do as the new sheriff, his transition plan, and things we can look forward to in the future. He's got a lot of good ideas for Craven County, and we look forward to hearing from him on that. So, Melanie.
Yes.
We had a huge turnout.
We did, definitely.
Broke any records?
In this county, yes. We had almost 51% turnout in a midterm.
Yeah, that I know we were busy at the poll I was at, busier than we normally are. For an election like this, you know, midterms, you usually aren't that busy.
You usually aren't. I think all the precincts saw some record numbers. Usually Trent Woods is my highest voting on election day, but a lot of them voted early this time. So
right.
It was not my highest. My highest turnout this time was Havelock. So,
what do you attribute the all the early voting numbers to? You...
I think people were ready either to make a difference. Whether I think FEMA response, the government response to the hurricane had something to do with that, whether they were happy with the response or not. I think the national news and events, I think people this time, younger people, I'm interested after I get all the statistics in to see that 18 to 25 year old group in our county and how they voted. Even though our county does not have a lot in that group, I'm hoping to see an increase. I think people really decided to get interested for once. We had a lot of first-time voters.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because we are still, some areas of the county are still recovering from the
mm-hmm.
hurricane.
Yes.
So you don't think it had an adverse effect on the voting?
I think it brought people out because of the responses. That is, you know, what I think. Mm-hmm. And just from some of the questions on people, what addresses to use, where they need to go, and things like that. I believe it was more of a positive effect in our county.
Good. That's interesting. I want to congratulate you on getting the information out because people were confused as to what to do, but you did a very good job of getting information out. I know we had you on the radio show, and it was so informative that it even got played on Saturday some extra time. So, the information got out to the people where they needed to go because some of the polls were not usable anymore.
Right. And I know not everyone gets reached or read what we send them, but I am proud of the fact of everything that we did to try to make sure people knew where they needed to go.
Well, again, congratulations on the job well done.
Thank you.
I was listening to the Y Factor on Lockwood Phillips' show on the way after the election was over, and he brought out some of the people that are young in that young age group said that they thought there was a general apathy among people in that age group, and I didn't observe that at all in Craven County. I thought just the opposite. I thought a lot of young people came out, and so when you have that statistics together, I'd be very interested in knowing what it is because I saw a lot of young people go in and vote.
I did too. That's why I'm interested after I get through and look at all the statistics, and I'm hoping to see an increase there.
Mary?
I just have a question. You were nice enough to give us a summary of the election, and there's something on here I don't understand. Overvotes and undervotes, what does that mean?
That means on the ballot, if someone left it blank, that's an undervote. If someone did not color their bubble, in other words. Or if someone voted for two when they were only supposed to vote for one, and then the DS-200 would tell them they have an error, instead of them spoiling the ballot and redoing the whole ballot, they told us to cast the ballot as is, so it just didn't count that race. So that would be an overvote.
So the rest of their ballot counted.
Yes, just the one race where the mistake. Didn't. Correct. Okay, and we do explain that every time that happens.
Okay, thank you.
Rainer?
Well, we were talking about young voters and just something that I observed. There were a lot of young voters at the, a lot, more than usual at the polls where we were working. And we... Hal came up with the bright idea of anybody who looked really young, asking if they were a first-time voter, and inviting them to come back after they had voted, and he gave them a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and made a, there were a lot of poll workers around, introduced them, announced that's what it was, and everybody responded with applause, and it just was, it made it fun at the poll, and it happened a number of times.
Yeah. We had six constitutional amendments on the ballot.
Yes.
Do you think you could attribute some of the turnout to that?
I think any time that we do anything with the Constitution, an amendment, I do think that it drives more people out.
I know in particular the voter ID amendment, to pass voter ID. I think there was a lot of interest in that. I think that that could possibly have had a lot to do with some of them coming out. Do you have many ballots that just certain things are the undervotes you're talking about? Did you have many that a lot of the ballot was blank and just certain things?
Well, we even have now where we can tell how many blank ballots went in at each precinct. We can do that as well. Also, the one that's the most undervoted is school board race, because people don't realize that on election day in the general election, you can vote for all of the school board candidates. Not just in your district. That's a big confusion. So if you look at the summary, you'll see that the most undervotes is going to be in your school board. And obviously you have a lot of undervotes in those people who are running unopposed.
And that's kind of unique for Craven County, isn't it?
It is very unique.
I mean,
for
most
Craven
of the state,
County.
It's not that way.
Correct. And,
okay, well, we're going to take a break here to hear from our sponsors. And please, folks, when you hear the commercials, take note of who the sponsors are. Go out and visit them. And let them know you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government. to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we have special guest Melanie Ray, Director of Elections here in Craven County, with us, giving us a little bit of oversight on how the elections went. And we have with us the new sheriff in Craven County, Chip Hughes. He unseated his incumbent, which had been there for 24 years, so that's quite a victory, I believe. And he's going to give us a little information on what his transition plan looks like and what we can look forward to with the new sheriff here in Craven County. Melanie, you were just mentioning some statistics during the break about ballots that weren't cast. Could you repeat that for us?
What it means is that either someone just didn't vote in that race. That's what an undervote is. It's just that someone just chose not to cast their vote in that particular race. I know, like in the Clerk of Superior Court race, that could make a difference in that race because of the difference in the vote totals right now.
Right. You said there were several hundred that were...
Yes, in that particular race, there were undervotes of 482.
Okay.
So, and the public doesn't see the over-unders because we don't report those.
Do you happen to know what the margin of victory was there?
It's not. It's a little over 1%.
Okay.
So right now, with the vote total, it's about 400 and something. So
it could have made a big difference.
It could. Of course, we do have about 175 provisionals for our board to go through and consider. We also still have about 184 absentee by mail ballots that have not been returned. We will accept these if they were postmarked yesterday, November 6th, and we received by Friday if they filled out the absentee ballot envelope correctly.
When will you get official results?
November 16th. Canvas is at 11 a.m. November 16th.
Thank you.
Also, the question on what percentage, I realize there's 35,700 voters voted in the whole election. What percentage of them voted yesterday, or the election day, as opposed to, I think, something like 19,700?
Actually, when I do my statistics, I do that on my overall when I broke it down by percentages. But if you see, you know, one stop was up at a little over 19,000, where Election Day was just a little over 15,000, almost 16,000.
And so 19,000, absentee or the one stop. And that was over how many days did we do that?
18. October 17th through November 30th.
So that's like a little more than 1,000 a day.
Oh, yes. Our site downtown averaged around 800 a day. So,
Who determines early voting days?
Your legislatures.
Do you know of any movement afoot to shorten that?
They just now enacted the uniform, which made all counties, if you had more than one site, be open the same hours, 7 to 7.
Oh.
At every site.
That's brand new this year.
We had 13 days that were open 7 to 7 plus half a day the final Saturday. That's enough to grind people into the ground.
You're bound to be exhausted.
Then a two-day break, and let's go for 13 hours, which means that if it's open 13 hours, how many hours does a person who's exhausted get to work that day?
Well, we put in, it's me and two full-time and a couple part-time. Me and my two full-time, we spent 14, 15, 16-hour days straight.
Yeah. And there were a lot of people who put in a good 12
and
a good 13.
Officials are also precinct officials, so there were a lot. It's long hours. And, yes, we are exhausted, but it is our job.
Maybe it's time for the CCTA's Legislative Action Committee to talk to a few legislators
about
that.
It would be a good idea, but you got paid a lot more, didn't you?
No, sir.
You got that big Christmas bonus.
You can't hear that, Melanie.
No, sir. We do get, you know.
You got that big Christmas bonus.
That's
and all.
Right. Yeah. No, we don't get that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, do you have any idea, and I may be asking you too early because you may not have gotten to those statistics yet, the cost to the taxpayers for putting on 18 days of early voting?
No, but that is something that I do break down after we get the canvas results, and on the 16th, I do like to break mine out on cost and let.
Well, from past experience, a day of.
Well, it's we pay our staff $10 an hour, the one-stop workers. Mm-hmm. So we have at least 10 a day at the main site. We have at least 6 a day at Cove City. We have at least 7 a day at Vanceboro, and we have at least 7 to 8 a day at Havelock. So.
And so that's just mm-hmm. paying those
that's
helpers.
The majority of the cost is the wages for okay. our workers.
All right. Did you have any major hitches during this election? Equipment failures or?
No, you always have. The humidity was really bad across the state yesterday, so sometimes ballots stuck. If voters got your ballot has been counted, but the image didn't scan, it's see poll worker. A lot of times that just means that the ballot stuck in the back.
Right.
It did not affect the scanning. We just have to open the door and let it fall down.
Right.
We have that occasionally every election, even if there's not humid. Its equipment sits and sometimes
yep.
not climate controlled. We do test all the equipment before the election, but you always have a little glitches on election day because you remember these workers, this is the second time they've only worked this year on election, so it just takes a little while to get going.
Okay, but you had no hacking that you were aware of.
You can't hack the scanners. We're not hooked to the internet at all.
Okay.
Melanie, I also understand that we were very fortunate that the voting equipment was not in the basement of the court.
Yes, I don't know if voters realize that, but the Sallyport, where the magistrate's office is where we have always stored our equipment.
You had foresight enough to get it
we
out
We moved
there.
It the Tuesday before, thank goodness, because
yes.
if not, we would have lost everything, and I'm talking everything, supplies, everything.
So, thank you again for a job well done. Hal, you had you.
Well, I observed something interesting down in Croatan. Was a person came in and had more ballots, more paper ballots had to be sent down there. Was that common or is that unusual? Or?
We always send out ballots, and we got to calling early to see if people needed more, and we did send some more out there. We uh-huh. had them. We just didn't send them all out at one time. We always try to keep a little bit back just in case. We have to have people at the office. And we called ahead and would send them. So
when that happened, I thought that was a good sign.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's hard to anticipate exactly what your turnout
was. It was more turnout than what we were anticipating, but we were prepared.
Sure. Good job again.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the question of voter ID. Now, we did a primary last year with voter ID. Am I correct?
We did 2 elections with voter ID.
And it saved time because it was easy to scan the ID.
Oh, you're talking about the June primary. The June primary, we did use the voter ID as a tool for helping find the voters in the voter registration rolls. In other words, we scan their driver's license, and if you were registered, it immediately pops up to where our workers don't have to find you.
And
we
I can tell you
that in the primary in June.
Having served as a judge during that period of time, I can tell you it made a tremendous difference because a lot of these names, they say them, but you can't spell them without help, okay? With the driver's license, you hit it with that scanner, and there it is right there on the screen.
Yes, I would hope that whatever happens with the photo ID, that is we could possibly bring that back as data tools, or where we would not even have to touch the ID if possible, where a voter could scan it if they had the option to. So mm-hmm.
that would save us time.
Oh yes, it would process yes. so much faster because we're not having to. You still have to state your name and address, but it finds the voter immediately. Like my last name's Ray, but it's W-R-A-Y.
Right.
I wouldn't have to constantly be saying W-R-A-Y. It would pop up automatically.
We had one individual had a very unusual name, and it had a lot of characters in it. And the lady that the poll worker that was helping him had to go through 5 or 6 times of him. And he was getting frustrated, mm-hmm. you know, but it was a very peculiar name. And it would have prevented that situation. Now, having worked the polls and run into some of the issues that we had, We had, especially this time, more than we have in the past elections, number of people that their registration hadn't been updated. And, you know, that seemed to be a problem. Tell the people what they can do now. I know some of them, they said they went to DMV and they did it there, but...
The problem with DMV, it is not automatic. You have to sign the voter registration form for us to be sent the information and for it to be changed. We have to have a signature to change your information from anything. But as far as address updates, by law, you're supposed to update your address by the voter registration deadline, which was October 15th in this case. In early voting, though, you can change an address, name, anything in early voting because we have all your ballots there. It's very easy to do it in early voting. But election day, if you have an address change, the proper procedure is to go to your old precinct first, get a transfer, then go to your new precinct. Why does it matter? Because the precinct that you appear in may not have your correct ballot. So right. Then you have to vote a provisional. And you will only, if the provisional is deemed to be able to be counted, we can only count it partially because we can't count it for a race that you don't live in.
All right. Well, how about within the same precinct?
If you do it within the same precinct, you should get a regular ballot. We have an opportunity in place that if you go there first, the officials should be able to help you by saying you have transfers.
All right. Okay. Very good. Anybody else have any questions for Melanie?
One other quick question. I know as I had worked the office prior to the election, there's a number of people that vacation here or part-time live here. As we all know, you're supposed to only vote in your primary residence.
Yes, residence for us in elections is defined on where you lay your head the most and what you call your home of record. It doesn't matter what's on your driver's license. It doesn't matter where you pay taxes. It's actually where you physically lay down the most and sleep or whatever you call your home of record. So that is how we define loosely and residence.
And it's the head of the bed, not the foot of the bed.
Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter if your house splits on a boundary, because boundaries have to be somewhere, we will call and ask you where you put your head.
Okay.
And we've done that. So that's a true statement.
Well, Melanie, do you have any other comments about
that? I just want to say I'm very, very thankful to be the elections director in this county. I'm very thankful to my precinct officials and my staff. I mean, of course, everyone's human and, you know, sometimes things happen. But I am very thankful for the voters in Craven County, for the candidates and the candidate supporters, that we did get that many people out in this county, because I always want Craven County to be on the map, to know and to be an example for other counties and for the state that we know what we're doing here.
Well, I think you're doing a fine job, and I have never had a problem with any of your staff, and that's unique, and especially with working with government workers.
Oh, gosh. And I think that's called a backhanded compliment.
Well, I was one, so I had a lot of experience working with government workers, and sometimes it can't be pleasant.
I appreciate that very much.
You run a very tight ship, but your staff is very courteous, very polite, and very helpful. I really appreciate the job they do.
Well,
also,
I always hope that we do give the impression that we treat everybody the same.
That's the way I've seen it anyway.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you, Melanie, again for joining us. We're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, the first segment we had with Melanie Ray, Director of Elections here in Craven County, was very informative. I think the elections, from my perspective anyway, ran very smoothly in Craven County. We did have a large turnout, but it was handled very well. Preparations ahead of time, especially after the hurricane, it was remarkable that we were able to do as well as we did. So we, especially saving the equipment, that was a big one. All right, we're now going to talk with the new sheriff in town here in Craven County, and that's Chip Hughes. Chip, congratulations on your victory.
Thank you very much, Rick.
I know you worked hard for it and spent a lot of time out talking to the people and interacting with the people. First of all, tell us a little bit about your background.
Right. So I guess my correct title right now would be sheriff-elect.
Sheriff-elect, you're right.
The current sheriff does have it until I'm sworn in on December 3rd. But anyway, and before I get in, I do want to thank Melanie and her staff, who are phenomenal.
Thank you.
Y'all do such a great job. Anytime I've had, well, first of all, any questions I've had, it's as if you read my mind, because I get an email that answers the question before I even pose it. So great job of communication.
Thank you.
You know, during the early voting, I came up to you and said, you know, I wouldn't have your job for anything, because a referee, a judge, I mean, all these hats she had to wear, but we all respect you. We thank you for what you're doing.
Hear, hear.
And I have nothing but the utmost respect for you and your staff. So,
and I always hope it comes across that I do love my job. I do.
Oh, there's no doubt. You're very passionate about it. And it certainly shows. That office runs like a well-oiled machine. And as a candidate, I thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
My qualifications. So I was born in Richmond. We lived there about 2 weeks. My dad was in the military.
Is that North Carolina or Virginia? Richmond?
That's in Virginia.
Okay. Yes, there, sir, is one in North Carolina.
Yes, yes. No, dad was in the military. He was in the Air Force, and we moved to New Bern, which is where my parents are from. So I was raised here from an infant. I've always had the passion to serve, hence that's why I went into the military. I spent 4 years, or just shy of 4 years, in the United States Air Force, where I worked with the Office of Special Investigations as a narcotics officer. Probably really one of the best jobs I ever had serving. And it just, it gave me a insight into how narcotics were being moved in the European theater where I served in Germany. And it gave me a lot of experience into investigation and in-depth investigations into the hash trade as it was going on over there, and a lot of other synthetic drugs that we were running into. And as long as there was a military connection, I was able to purchase drugs and work in the bowels of some of the areas of Germany. So a very rewarding job. I was then transferred stateside, where I spent almost 2 years in Ohio doing the exact same thing, working in the community side by side with some of our local law enforcement, which was kind of odd because usually the military and law enforcement will not work side by side like that. And the Commi Positatus Act, I believe, covers that. But we were able to do that because, one, there was a connection to military. So I learned a lot about narcotics and how to work in-depth narcotic investigations. So I was able to get out a little early because I had been accepted onto the North Carolina State Highway Patrol, which was another dream of mine, was to become a trooper in North Carolina and come back and serve. And I knew it someday I would want to come to Craven County and run for sheriff. I knew that at a young age, but I felt military to get the experience and also the discipline that is required when you're in the service, which would serve me well in the North Carolina Highway Patrol, which is a semi-military organization as well.
All right.
And it served me well. I moved up through the ranks in North Carolina Highway Patrol to sergeant, and I ended my career right here in Craven County after being shot throughout the state a number of different places, because you do serve at the pleasure of the colonel and the governor when you're a trooper. So there would be times you would be moved for the betterment of the patrol. Which is, when you're single, that's fine, but as a family, that's kind of tough to uproot the family, you know. So, but another rewarding career I had there, and I just, the things that I was able to do from an interdiction officer on the interstate, being assigned to the governor's office, to his executive security detail, and then working as a line trooper out on locally in these counties, and then once again, moving up to the rank of sergeant and then supervising multiple districts. So I got a very good working knowledge of what it was like to operate a large organization like the Highway Patrol in Eastern North Carolina, where you all oversaw a number of troopers and their day-to-day operations. So, but I knew, once again, that I was going to want to run for sheriff. And you know, back in 2014, we felt like it was a good time to start.
All right.
I knew I had an uphill battle.
Before you go any further, let me thank you for your service to your country.
Thank you.
That's an outstanding record you just verbalized for us. I knew you had been on the Highway Patrol before. And I know you served in the governor's office recently, our previous governor.
Previous one, yes, sir.
Yeah, as a school... Something to do with school safety.
I chaired his task force, Governor McCrory's right. task force on school safety, and I was also his vice chair of the Governor's Crime Commission. And what we did was we advised the governor and legislators on criminal activity in the state and, you know, how do they best go about combating that. We also looked at where funds would be allocated to our local resources and state resources. For training, equipment, and whatever they need to, it could not be used for manpower.
All right. Well, you've touched on two things that are really hot in today's society, and that's the drugs, opioid
yes.
abuse, and school safety.
Correct.
And it seems like you have a vast amount of experience in both areas there. Hal?
Well, I want to congratulate him as well on what I observed at several of the polls was a strong cadre of law enforcement officers and ex-law enforcement officers that were there to support you in your efforts.
Yes, sir.
I think that speaks very highly of you as well.
Yeah, it was a very humbling experience. It was the first time I ran, you know, and going back to that, I knew that we had an uphill battle running against a longtime incumbent
right.
with name recognition. I had never run a county statewide election. So we knew, you know, the deck was stacked against us.
And you're talking about your 2014
run. Yes, sir, the 2014 run. And, you know, I ran a race that I was very proud of. I learned a lot of lessons. I learned that I did not like the negative aspect of the political arena, where it's hard to defend lies, you know, and I had a lot of them thrown out at me. There was a lot of slander. It was very unfortunate. It didn't come directly from my opponent, but there are passionate supporters on each side, and unfortunately, it's not always clean, and that's unfortunate because that takes away from time, you know, when you're trying to defend a lie about you, to when you should be talking about how do we solve issues, how do we save lives. You know, I would rather spend my time talking about my stance on the Second Amendment and how I'm a huge proponent of that, as opposed to someone that has attacked my stellar career in the military or the North Carolina State Highway Patrol.
All right.
But it's politics.
I understand. I ran for school board, and I got introduced to some of that stuff myself.
Yes, sir. Unfortunate.
Rainer.
Chip, this time round, it was a much cleaner campaign, was it not?
It was in regards to myself and Sheriff Manette. You know, however, social media now plays a much bigger role in these campaigns because it's utilized so much more than it was 4 years ago. So there was a side of the social media that from supporters on both sides that I would refer to as rhetoric that I did not support or endorse. And, you know, it is their right to speak pretty much freely. However, a lot of it was slander, which is unfortunate.
I was unaware of that, but I don't spend a lot of time on social media,
ma'am.
Because I have noticed that people do not govern themselves in the same way that they
Correct.
Do socially,
yeah.
and face-to-face.
Yeah. And listen, it came from supporters, both sides. And, you know, I sent word out through social media and by mouth that, you know, I do not support this rhetoric. It is not part of my campaign. I will not endorse it, and I don't tolerate it. However, I do respect the rights of people to speak freely.
Surely.
But it does cross the line, and that's the part of the politics that I don't like. And, you know, when I was speaking with Sheriff Manette in an interview just a couple weeks ago, or actually last Monday, excuse me, and I looked at him, I said, Sheriff, you know, if this race was just between you and I, we could have a lot of meaningful dialogue, because I believe at the end of the day, we both want to save for Craven County.
Right.
We just have a difference in philosophy about how we get there.
Right.
And he agreed, you know. So the conversations that he and I have are gentlemanly conversations about safety of the county. Once again, he was more of, I want you to have more of the same. And I was more of a fresh perspective, a new look, having a new set of eyes on the office, and of course, the accountability and transparency part that comes with that.
Right. Well, Chip, we're going to have to take another break and get it in here real quick. When we come back, we'll talk about your transition plan.
Yes, sir.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have with us today Sheriff-elect for Craven County, Chip Hughes. And Chip, we want to thank you for coming in and spending some time with us. I want to talk about your transition. I'm sure, knowing what I know about you, that you already have a transition plan in place and you're ready to hit the ground running. Will you give us a little preview of that?
We certainly do. You know, going through the county, and you put, when you put your platform together and what you want to accomplish, it's based on the needs of the people.
All right.
So continuously, you know, what are you going to do about the heroin and opioid addiction? Are you going to do what Chris Davis, Sheriff Davis, is doing in Pamlico County? Or Asa Buck and Carrett, or Danny Heath and Jones? And these sheriffs are good friends of mine, so I'm not reinventing the wheel. Or they've handed me their playbook, what's working. So consistently, it was the, you know, the heroin and opioid epidemic. You know, for those that have not heard me talk about it, it is something that's very close and passionate to me. I have had friends affected by it. I think many of us have. If you haven't, there's a good possibility you will at some time. It's just that prevalent. In Craven County, out of 100 counties in this state, Craven is ranked 10th for heroin and opioid overdoses.
Wow.
9th for fentanyl. Which is, these are numbers that we, this is not something we should be proud of at all. We shouldn't be in the top 50. But we are here, and it could be for a number of reasons. I would argue enforcement is not where it should be. So having said that, I'm going to be taking my administration, we're going to be taking a very, very aggressive and strong stance against those that think it's okay to come into our neighborhoods and set up shop and sell this poison to our children and our families. We are going to take back communities. We're going to do that with a partnership that I'm forming with the surrounding sheriffs. So you are going to see the surrounding sheriffs of Jones, Carteret, and Pamlico, and myself working hand in hand to accomplish this task of cleaning up our counties. They have done such a good job in their counties. One, that's why I want to team up with them, because I can't do it by myself.
All right.
But we're going to do the same thing they've been doing in their counties, and they're going to help me. And this is a commitment they have made to me, because right now they're telling me everything is coming out of this county into theirs.
Yeah.
So that does present a problem.
So it benefits them as well?
It does. Yeah. So the heroin and opioid epidemic, we're going to be going 110% at it with every resource that I have. Because it is the leading killer in our county. I've already started meeting with county elected officials and county management to discuss the resources we will need. I'm going to be utilizing existing resources, so I will not be asking for additional funds to do this. We are just going to reallocate the resources that we have and better utilize them. We have a lot of good men and women out there at the sheriff's office. I just don't think they're being used to their full potential. With that in mind, and that being a priority, and school safety as well, you know, we're going to make sure that our schools are adequately protected by resource officers that want to be there, one, and that are qualified to be there. And it's not that the ones we have there are not qualified. I just think we need to utilize our retired military and retired police officers to help augment the force they have in place. We can't wait until something happens before we move. For many years, all we've had is two resource officers in county schools. Countywide, we have 20-some schools, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few of those are in the county, and I would be responsible for their safety. I look at it a little different than many other sheriffs. I feel like if it's anywhere in the county, because I, as the sheriff, the top law enforcement officer of the county, I'm charged with protecting everyone in the county.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to, if yes, you did. A lot of our listeners may not know what you mean by the top law enforcement officer in the county. What makes you the top law enforcement officer?
Well, you're elected by the people.
You're the only
constitutional officer.
You're the only one elected.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have charged you, you know, when you're elected, you are charged with the safeguard of all citizens. You're the only elected law enforcement officer.
You work directly for the people.
Absolutely. That's every day, mm-hmm. not just every 4 years during election time.
Good point.
And you know, what I get at with that is it's imperative that, you know, instead of just trying to show statistics during an election cycle, it's imperative that us law enforcement officers do this year-round every year. We must do drug roundups. We must aggressively go after these people.
All right.
My job is to protect Craven County. Therefore, I'm going to make it very difficult for these folks to come into our county and sell these narcotics. We are going to take back, like I said, our communities. We're going to do this through aggressive patrols. But we also need to educate. And those folks that need treatment, we need to make sure that they get the treatment if they're willing to help
themselves.
Right,
you got to follow up on it.
Yes, sir, we have to.
Well, it sounds like a good plan to me, and it's probably the reason you got elected, because I know that's what the people are really looking for, is answers to those problems.
Consistently, Rick, that was consistently what I was hearing as the number one priority. How are you going to tackle this heroin and opioid epidemic?
All right. How, real quick.
Okay, Chip, one time you and I were talking, and we talked about our inalienable right and Second Amendment protected right to arm ourselves.
Yes, sir.
And you said that one of the things that you wanted to do was to have safety instructions and safe use of firearms assistance from the police, from the Sheriff's Department to citizens.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
I just wanted to reinforce that.
You do. You don't forget a thing. I've noticed that about you. We've had a lot of conversations, but that is one. You know, I feel like, one, being a huge proponent of the Second Amendment. You know, I own many weapons myself, and I would certainly have a problem with anybody. The question has been posed. You know, if the feds come in, what would you? Well, they're going to have to get through me, and the Constitution gives me that authority to and charges me to protect my citizens.
Right.
To make sure lawfully obtained and possessed weapons are not taken from our law-abiding citizens.
Right.
And I will do that. And, you
Thank
know,
goodness.
I will commend you on the vetting process. You know, the first time we did it 4 years ago or more, I know there were a lot of questions that really didn't pertain as much to the sheriff, and that was my question to you. And this time there were a lot of good questions on there that pertained to me as a sheriff, and I thank you for that.
Well, you can thank the members of our committee, and some of them here, Mary and Bob.
Right. They were good, my stance was well done on the Second Amendment, and it gave me an opportunity to really spell that out.
Thank you.
But, you know, once again, what I want to do is, you know, we want to have range days, family range days,
right,
where folks can come out to the range, and we make it a fun environment, a learning experience. You know, I want to pay you know, particular attention to women, first of all, that want to come out that might not have a comfort with holding a firearm.
Right.
And make it a very comfortable atmosphere for them. You know, talk about range safety, talk about weapon safety, talk about the nomenclature, and how to be and get proficient with that weapon. Kind of give them an idea, because I've already got a great relationship with a lot of the firearm companies now.
Well, when you get ready to do that, please let us know, and we'll be glad to help you promote that.
Well, I believe Hal appointed me, actually.
Okay.
Appointed me by executive order.
That's right.
To help y'all out with, and I'm not sure what the title you placed on me, but it was I accepted gracefully.
Well, he didn't run that by me, so I wasn't aware.
He said it was an executive order. So.
According to our...
Plan of organization
and bylaws. The chairman of the CCTA does have the power to nominate committee chairman. So I wanted to ask you to take over chairmanship of that Second Amendment rights.
Yeah. And I was thank you for that. But, you know, the range days where we can bring family out there, you know, and you know, show them how to shoot, be proficient with the weapons, answer questions. I would like for anybody, you know, to be able to come out, because this is going to be for the citizens of Craven County. And, you know, we will do them multiple times a year. And I think it's just a good thing to educate the folks on, you know, one, the importance of safety, but teach them how to protect themselves. Right. And it's a shame we have to go through a lot of things we do now, but society has put us in these situations, right, where, yes, we've got to have an SRO at every school.
Right.
I never thought I would ever feel the need to wear a weapon to church, but I do.
Yep.
I mean, and it's, and you know, in regards to church safety, I find myself sitting in the lobby of our church while my family is worshiping inside, and I would much rather be in the sanctuary with them, getting my batteries recharged, what I need to move through the next week, as opposed to sitting in the lobby watching the doors to ensure that, you know, right, my sheep are taken care of.
Right.
But that's where I feel like I've been to call, and that's where I spend every Sunday.
I understand. I did the same thing.
Yes, sir.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Okay, well, we've got a couple of minutes left, and it sounds like you have a great transition plan. Real quick, can we run through in the next couple of minutes, what do you think your biggest obstacles are?
One, you know, looking at personnel. And looking at the resources we have that are available out there that I can use. Like I said, we've got a lot of great people out there, but I don't feel like, or I know for a fact, a lot of them aren't being utilized to their potential. You know, so we're going to look at policies and procedures that need to be put in place, operating procedures. You know, I'm going to have a plan of action, and I'm going to expect my folks to give an honest day's work. So there's going to be a lot of accountability. You know, we're going to put a, which is another thing that's very popular, is a citizens advisory board to the sheriff. This is a way of being transparent. Folks can come in during this, apply for a position on the advisory board. It will be a very diverse group that will accurately reflect the makeup of our county. People like this. And once a quarter or more often if needed, they're going to come and meet with me and my command staff, and we're going to talk about issues you folks are having in your communities that need to be addressed by the sheriff's office. It's also a way of you giving me a report card on a quarterly basis. Am I meeting your expectations? Are we below? Or are we exceeding the expectations? My job is to have an A. You know, I want to exceed expectations. I don't want to do just enough to get by. This is a way to bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community. This is a very popular program that many sheriffs throughout the U.S. that I've talked to said it's one of the best things they put in place, because it does give you, the stakeholder, this is your office.
Yep.
You have just elected me to drive this ship, but it gives you a seat at the table to discuss how things take place in the office. You get to see where the money's being spent. You get to ask the questions, and as the taxpayer, you should be. And, you know, my opponent during the race was not in favor of this. And it's no sheriff that I talked to could tell me why they would not want a group of citizens, diverse citizens, to come in and talk with me about how we make our county safer,
right,
and just the inner workings of the sheriff's office, and give me recommendations on how we could do it better. I mean, these people, and I don't want elected officials on here. I want folks that are in the community, boots on the ground, that see things that maybe my deputies won't see.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be greatly accepted. Real quick, Grainer.
Real quick.
During the election, at outside the polls, somebody came up and asked one of the people working for you, mm-hmm, I'm hearing the rumor that Chip's going to get rid of a lot of people at the Sheriff's Department. What do you know about that? The fellow working for you replied, well, my belief is, and what I'm understanding from him is, everybody there is going to be given a chance to shape up. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of turnover. What is your response to that?
That's a rumor. That's exactly what it is. And these rumors fly rampant during elections. Everybody out there does serve at the pleasure of the sheriff. Let me just tell you, my commitment to the people has been from day one that the most qualified men and women will hold the positions. So there will be a lot of interviewing going on. Everybody will get a chance to apply for positions that they are interested in. If they hold the qualifications and they are the most qualified man or woman, they will hold the position. But everybody will be treated fairly, and I will expect them to fall in line and come on board with my vision and how we move this county forward. And I hope they all will do that, but everybody will be treated fairly. That has been a very bad rumor that was put in there, and it's unfortunate because I don't want these men and women thinking about whether or not they're going to have a job in 3 weeks.
Right.
I want them concentrating on the dangers of the profession,
the job,
and how to deal with those.
Right. Well, I appreciate it again for you coming in. We have run out of time, but I got one question I haven't asked you before, but I've been asked, or it's been talked about around me a number of times. There's a gun show this weekend. Used to have a table set up there at the gun show, issuing permits at the gun show. And the current sheriff stopped that for whatever reasons. Do you anticipate starting that back up again, or is there a reason why that wouldn't be?
There was a mental health component that was added, and that's part of the reason why it's no longer out there. I do know the sheriff was out there
because
of
the length of time it takes to get there.
Yes, sir. That was it. And that wasn't in there before. And because of the length of time, it's really, you can't go out there and issue pistol permits on site now.
Okay.
Because of this. And listen, I agree with that, the mental health.
Oh, I do too. Listen, but a lot of people didn't know. They kept wondering, why don't we have permits here anymore?
It's not the weapons that are killing folks. I mean, I get very perfectly clear. It's people that have mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we need to start doing something about mental health. We need to quit dragging our feet and being the last state to address this stuff. But that's why.
Excellent point, because I've never seen a weapon show up without somebody to use it.
Yeah.
So.
And there was always a line there when the sheriff was giving them out.
There was, yeah. All right, well, that's all the time we have. We hope you'll come back and join us again next Sunday.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Responsible Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.